1983. All three of those years were in this last decade, and yet, in 2015, more land has been burned through September 24th than in any of those previous years. The agency reports that four states are currently reporting large fires, including Oregon, Washington, Idaho, and California. California continues to carry the bulk of large fire activity this year. Interesting fact, 68 fire line management personnel are here from Australia and New Zealand and remain assigned to support large fires in the northwestern United States.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Doug McVeigh, myself, Sarika Mehta, Robin Ryan, and Joe Vance. The producer is Sam Bowman. Our engineer is Pat Epstein. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Jenka Soderberg. A podcast of local stories from this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews or look for us on Twitter at KBOO News. You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River 91.9 FM. I'm Sarika Mehta.
And I'm Robert Barncord. Coming up tomorrow morning, Friday on KBOO at 7, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8 on Positively Revolting, hosts Ani and Lynn will look at productive rights and the continuing attempt by right-wing members of Congress to defund Planned Parenthood. At 9 on One Land, Many Voices, hosts Mohammed Nabil and Maxine Fuchsen speak with Portland filmmaker Courtney Colson about her new film, Welcome to the Circus, which is about the Palestine Circus School on the West Bank. They will also speak with Iranian-American human rights activist Gudarz Ekhtedari about the Iran nuclear deal. At 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. And at 11, we'll hear Radio Eco Shock, the subject being Climate Hunting the Shift. It will feature three interviews with scientists on the cutting edge of climate change. Thanks to all of you KBOO members for your support in last week's fall membership drive. If you missed it, you can still contribute by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today. Stay tuned now for an in-depth look at a recent hunger strike in Chicago over the city's mismanagement of its public school system. Good night, Sarika.
Good night, Robert. So what I'm understanding is that these model schools that you were talking about in the Lincoln Park area, you had created a proposal of that for Diet.
Absolutely. And that would create an excellent K-12 system of education. You know, so we were supposed to be in competition with, we did not like, but we, against our better judgment, we submitted a proposal. There's two other proposals. The best proposal was supposed to win. We had education experts from all over the country weigh in. So from Diane Ravitch to Jeannie Oates, the president of the American Education Research Association, to Randy Weingarten, the president of the AFT, said that this is one of the best, if not the best, proposal they had ever seen.
And what happened to Diet after you submitted the proposal? What was the result?
Well, what happened was the community began to pressure the mayor to meet with us at some very highly contested budget meetings. And we let them know that we're not standing for a school being privatized. We want Diet Global Leadership of Green Technology. And so after our meeting with the mayor, there was no negotiation. There was no, well, why don't we do, you know, have some of your proposal here. They just announced that they were opening up as a neighborhood open enrollment art school. Now, our concern, because we love art, the reason we continued the hunger strike after that is because, you know, one, the number one growth industry in the United States is green technology. according to Forbes magazine, the number one industry that leads to unemployment is the arts. So in a community with double-digit unemployment, where unemployment rates vary between 25 and 50%, why would you build a school that has no connection to 21st century economy? So that is why we continued the hunger strike. But what we realized was that after 30 days, and I want to just let your audience know that about a week before we stopped, Mayor Rahm Emanuel actually had a ribbon cutting at Lincoln Elementary School, and a well-resourced neighborhood elementary school in Lincoln Park, for a $21 million annex while we were starving for a high-quality neighborhood school. So it let us know that he would watch us die. We had parents that have suffered, you know, damage as a result of doing this.
That's actually something I wanted to talk more about. I want to back up for one moment. Okay. Why did your group decide on a hunger strike instead of the more traditional rally of teachers and unions and that kind of protest?
Well, because what people need to understand, like I said, we've been working on this since 2009. So we've met with every bureaucrat. We've jumped through every hoop. We've protested. We've done sit-ins. We've gone to school board meetings with hundreds of people. We've packed town hall meetings. We got over 3,000 petition signatures. We held six town hall meetings of our own. 578 people in our community mailed letters to the mayor. We were rendered voiceless. You know, the question we raised, why for black and brown children is the answer always privatization? Why don't we give our children world-class neighborhood schools like other people get? And when I'm raising it, there's no acrimony towards those communities that have it. There's nothing but love for those parents and those young people from Lincoln Park. You know, their children deserve it. But by God, so do ours. And that's the issue. You know, we've allowed ourselves to become an unconscious constituency where blatant, clear, and present racism can be happening right in our face. And we believe the stereotypes about particular people. And so we turn a blind eye to it. We're not turning a blind eye to it anymore. And so we starved our body because we wanted to shine a light on separate and unequal education. And that's not right. You know, I love my son as much as anybody else. And I will fight until I'm in the dirt for my child, but also other children in our community to be able to stand on our shoulders. So we won't settle for anything less. I don't care what anybody thinks about it. That's just the truth. We don't want to run a charter school. We weren't trying to make a dime out of this. And I think that's what gave us the moral high ground, because we were not trying to, you know, be a school operator. We just want the district to do its job.
You were the leader of this 34-day hunger strike. Why did you end it on Saturday?
Well, I would say I was the organizer, but I think we were all leaders, you know, and I think we ended it for the very reason I said before. I believe with all my heart that Rahm Emanuel would have watched us die. And while we had parents that were willing to die, I want you to understand, we had two parents in particular who were just saying they want to wheel me out of here. And we feel like the fight for Dyer High School, we've already made history. We are going to be part of the infrastructure of this school. It will serve our children correctly, but there's a bigger fight. Chicago was the second major city in the United States to have to be under mayoral control. So we don't have an elected school board. And I believe with all my heart that we are very close to getting one in Chicago now. We have a bill for an elected representative school board that has 55 co-sponsors. We've never been this close. So we would have had an elected school board. You wouldn't have a system as inequitable as it is right now. By no means would you have to have parents starving their bodies for 34 days just to get a good neighborhood school. And so we value the lives of those grandmothers. See, these aren't activists. I want people to be clear. These are not activists. I'm the only person that's a paid hellraiser that's part of the group. But I'm also a parent of a CPS student. But these are mothers, fathers, grandmothers, grandfathers. These are ordinary people who just rose in an extraordinary situation. And I value their life. And we did not want our parents to be casualties of somebody else's racism and greed. So that's why we stopped the hunger strike. But it was an overwhelming success. I think we made it an international story. We got a lot of the public sentiment. And I think now with the story of the hunger strike, we've got to win an elected school board. I think, you know, the people are with us. We're very close. And so I think that the fight for Diet Global Leadership and Green Technology continues. But the bigger fight to not only end these schemes of appointed school boards, state takeovers. Did you know that with the exception of Mount Clair, New Jersey, every city that has that type of setup, you know, state takeover, recovery school district, mail control, emergency managers, all of those cities are cities where the students served in the school district are primarily children of color. You don't have appointed school boards in the hills of West Virginia. You don't have them in rural Tennessee. So it's a racial justice issue and it's a voting rights issue that these people can raise our taxes and we don't have a say-so when they make bad policy. And we don't have the $30 million war chest that the mayor has to just, you know, market lies about how good the schools are doing. So we are close and we're going to win. But I think a bigger fight is to end the scheme that take away our voting rights in these cities. Because an elected school board is not a panacea, but it is a necessary ingredient to school improvement. It is.
Well, you were speaking a little bit about wanting to have representation of the community, of parents on the school board. So talk a little bit about that. And also talk about the vision for Diet and how this articulates with the vision for the neighborhood.
Thank you. So it's two things. We want representation on the design team. Moving forward, that's one of our demands, that we want representation on the design team so that we make sure that the people that save that school are also involved in the development of it. The reason we're not on the design team is strictly politics. There's a local alderman who's very ambitious, and he's an instrument for privatization. His name is Will Burns. He is the person that the mayor is, you know, throwing him a bone by blocking us out. And so we definitely are going to fight and win a seat on that design team. But in regards to the school board, the citywide school board for Chicago Public Schools, again, it's appointed. So we want that school board. So everyone that sits on the school board, I think you have two former educators. But everyone else, they're either corporate bankers, corporate attorneys, and people like that. You know, one of our former school board members was Penny Pritzker, you know, Hyatt family with the Hyatt Hotel. And so what does she know about the issues of a public school child? Those are the people, the type of folks that currently sit on the school board. And the excuse is what privatizers say or elected officials will say is we don't want to bring politics into public education. So my question is, how could it get more political than it is right now? The best proposal for Diet was Shutter for politics. So not doing what's right for children, but to settle a political beef against one organization. So it could never get more political than it is right now. But we have the people power where we can go toe-to-toe with the privatizers and get our people on the school board. And I don't want people on the school board that will close successful charters. If there are charter schools that are good, God bless them. But for the overwhelming majority that are not, we need to stop them from siphoning resources from neighborhood schools. You know, there is no such thing as school choice in black communities. That's a farce in black and brown communities. If so, if there was, then 4,800 people that chose Walter Dyer Global Leadership and Green Technology would have it. So the vision for the neighborhood is that we want a K-12 system of education in our community that provides high-quality, stable education for our young people. You know, there's an old organizing quote that says, the foundation of any nation are the institutions that lay the groundwork for the development of the people. And if you want to create a ghetto, if you want to create misery, you destabilize the basic quality of life institutions that people depend on to meet their daily needs, like health care, like housing, like food production and delivery, and like clothing and education. So we are very clear that what's happening in urban communities around the country is a disinvestment in working and low-income families. So where they close schools, they also close police stations, they close hospitals, they close grocery stores. And so that's been our experience in Bronzeville. And this is a historic community. This is the neighborhood where the hospital sits that was created by the first man to perform successful surgery on the human heart, Providence Hospital, Dr. Daniel L. Williams. This is where Harold Washington grew up, the first black mayor of Chicago. Ida B. Wells, the civil rights crusader. Nat King Cole, who was a student of Captain Walter Dyer. Dinah Washington. Richard Wright, who wrote A Native Son. I can go on and on. It's a historic community that made significant contributions to American life in the 20th century. And it has suffered from municipal and private disinvestment. So I just want people to think, if what I'm saying is true, and it is, what could be more evil than that? To intentionally destabilize the education of a child. So that's why we did the hunger strike. And that's why we're committed to fighting forward. No more will we watch our children be underserved and then be blamed for being undisturbed. No, you cannot change reality unless you're willing to face it. And the reality is the racial history and the racial reality of America, unfortunately, I wish it wasn't this way, is dark. It's very dark. The same value system that shuts down 50 schools in one fell swoop, that has children in Mollison eating lunchrooms in their hallway, is the same value system that strangled Aaron Gardner